Director of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Ryan Polterman of Comdex. Ryan, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Ryan, I know you've been working awfully hard for a long time on a special project. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so as part of an NCHRP research project, we've been developing a book, it's about 400 pages now, that covers various aspects of radio communications and any sort of wireless communications, including cellular push-to-talk and others. As part of this project, and as you know, COVID-19 has kind of taken off, I've decided to include some information about the disinfection processes of various radios and even smartphones. And I ended up putting it together into a Google spreadsheet to make it easier to people to find it.
Oh, wow. That's going to be very helpful. And we'll talk some more about exactly where people can find that. But tell us in general, you know, a lot of people are really, with the COVID-19 outbreak, a lot of people are very hypersensitive about, you know, cleanliness and hygiene and things like that. In a normal situation, though, I think of the radios and the keyboards that people use, either out in the radios out in the field or the keyboards that they're using in dispatch. How clean are those in a normal situation?
In general, that varies by agency. You'll find that, you know, fire and EMS have to clean theirs a little bit more, but some of them in other agencies, I'm not sure they've ever seen it water, at least in a long time.
Okay, all right. And when you say they have to clean it a little bit more in fire and EMS, is that because they share the radios, or how's that?
Well, with fire departments, sometimes if they get in a smoky environment, they'll clean them for, I guess, personal hazards for EMS, if there's any sort of bodily fluids or other sort of things that are, you know, biohazard materials, or they just want to make sure it's clean, they'll clean it a bit more often than the others.
Okay. And when we're talking cleaning in a normal situation, we're just talking more like wiping things down?
For EMS, it's going to be more of the following the manufacturer's processes. Probably for fire departments, they may do water and the cleaning. Usually they say like a dish detergent or something like that.
Okay.
As you mentioned, there is a number of factors that change. The risk increases when you have shared radios. There are some agencies who, as an example, fire department, may assign the radios per the vehicle, which means that it's not even per shift. So it could be a number of different people operating the radio at different points in time, and even just when they, whatever seat they end up in.
Okay. All right. Well, so with COVID-19, I know that it can remain on a surface for quite some time. Can you talk to us a little bit about what kind of, I mean, is it a situation where a simple wipe down will do the trick, or is more involved?
It's a bit more involved. The big thing is to make sure that there is an EPA statement. The EPA has a website where you can actually check the different cleaners and see not only what the cleaner is qualified for, but also the disinfection process as well as the contact time. So the contact time is how long you have to have the item visibly wet in order for it to do the disinfection process. Some of them can even take 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, now, which devices can I just easily do that with? And are there some? I mean, my typical LTE cell phone, I can't imagine just dumping it in the water for 10 minutes or something, or any other solution.
So the various manufacturers have posted their disinfection procedures. Some manufacturers, just to mention smartphones, have opened it up a little bit more. Apple says that you can use Clorox wipes, isopropyl alcohol wipes. Samsung has their own version. In terms of radios, some manufacturers are a bit more permissive than others. There's some that only allow bleach. There's some that won't allow bleach, but only allow isopropyl alcohol or rubbing alcohol. It's actually really complicated, and that's one of the reasons that I wanted to create this table, was to allow people to quickly determine the information without having to try to dig through the sheets.
Okay, well, that's great that you're bringing it all together. From an operational standpoint, I mean, how long might this cleaning process take? And you know, is that something that people agencies should plan for? That hey, I might have somebody or a radio, you know, out of duty here for or somebody not be able to be on the job as quickly because, frankly, we need to make sure that the radio is okay.
I think it would vary by the agency. There's some that will have more downtime than others. I think that the biggest risk is honestly the police because they're less familiar with the cleaning procedures for the radios, and as well because they're typically more mobile, they don't have as much of a downtime. They're not going to be able to follow the manufacturer's, guidance to clean the devices.
Okay, all right. And what about you know, dispatch center, you know, cleaning out keyboards and things like that? And I know mine can get pretty problematic here, but at least it's just me as opposed to waiting for people to share it, you know, over, you know, long 8-hour shifts and 10 and 12-hour shifts.
It'll be interesting to see how different agencies respond to it. The keyboards, as you discussed, can become quite a crumb trap and much other things. There's even headset concerns, the mouthpieces. There'll be users who will be eating at the time or may try to be eating. It's not an ideal situation. I believe some agencies are wiping it down at the beginning of the shift and wiping it down at the end of the shift, and we'll have to see where it comes from. There are some, at least one dispatch manufacturer who has outlined some cleaning procedures, but the keyboards in general are problematic.
Okay. And you know, you mentioned mouthpieces and things like that. What about remote speaker mics and headsets and those kind of accessories? You know, it's one thing, you know, the radios are one thing and they can handle a certain amount of cleaning, but how do I make sure those things, especially that stuff that's frankly close to my mouth, how that stuff is cleaned?
In general, the requirements are about the same. The concerns would be the same as for a normal radio with like the speaker grill and the microphone, trying not to get the cleaning liquid inside of it. The biggest concern that I have overall is that in general, the disinfecting times expect it to be a hard, non-porous surface, and plastics can be a little flexible. There's risks of getting the cleaning agents into any form as a gasket, which some of them can be quite corrosive, and they could compromise the gaskets of the radio and let water or even the speaker microphones in.
Okay. Speaking of certain areas, I would think the push-to-talk button would be particularly difficult to get cleaned in a way that's both effective and not damaging.
That plastic tends to be a little bit thinner and more flexible. Depending on the type of cleaner, it can be considered corrosive and it could eat into it a little bit. But quite honestly, we'll just have to see.
Okay. And I guess the other thing is all of these devices need to be serviced. Is there a recommendation or guidelines as to how much cleaning should be done before I hand this off to my radio tech or something to take care of it?
I have not seen any form of guidance come out on that topic. I would assume that if you were to try to hand it off, I'm hesitant to speculate on that. I would assume that there'd be a certain amount of time that you may not have to, or it may be advisable either way. I would assume that if there are agency servicing radios right now, their first step as soon as they take it out of the box is probably to clean it.
Well, I mean, certainly taking it out of the box, I just didn't know in terms of, you know, if something needs to be fixed, you know.
Oh,
Oh,
sorry. I meant like if it was shipped to someone.
sure,
If you
sure.
were shipping it to a depot, sorry.
Yeah, but I was just thinking about, you know, hey, I've got a guy in the radio shop that's Mr. Fix It and can handle things, but you know, before I hand it off to him or her, you know, Are there any guidelines? Do you think, would you recommend cleaning these things before you make that kind of an exchange?
Whoever's servicing the radio, my guidelines to them would be to clean the radio as soon as you get it. And that way you don't have to worry about if the other person did it or not.
Okay.
Or trusting whether they did or not.
Very good point. Well, and so, Ryan, tell us where we can find all of this information in one place.
Yeah, so I have a shortened URL. It's bit.ly/radio-smartphone-disinfection.
Okay.
One of the important things to know is that the EPA regulates disinfectants, whereas the FDA regulates hand sanitizers. One of the things that I'd like to stress is that some of the antibacterial hand wipes that you'll see, these may not be virucidal or basically be able to kill the viruses. So I don't want a false sense of security.
Right, right. So these are just some guidelines that people ought to consider. You brought all these things together. Now, is this part of a larger project as well?
It's partially part of the guidebook.
And which guidebook is that? Do you want to tell people?
It's for the NCHRP. The project is called Essential Communications, a Guide to Land Mobile Radio. Right now, I believe the title will be in the end. We're calling it the Blue Book, Wireless Communications for Public Agencies. And ideally, we'd have it out in the next couple of months.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you, I know you've been working incredibly hard on this for a long time. And, I think it's great that you're doing this, that guidebook. But in the meantime, in particular, that you're able to put together this comprehensive information about disinfecting all the different devices.
There's another thing that I'd like to mention. It started off as just a U.S. effort. I am trying to expand it into Canada and as well into the EU. So I've reached out to TCCA for Tetra, and I'm using some contacts within Canada to see if we can double check the information that I've already gathered for that.
All right. Well, very cool. Well, Ryan, I can't thank you enough for doing all this work, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you.